Father, we thank you for today. Spirit of the living God, we ask that through this medium you will bring healing, you will bring restoration and direction to marriages. Father, we ask, Lord, that you will have your way upon lives in the name of Jesus. Let your name be praised, Holy Spirit. We release you upon this world. Come upon the world. Let the walls bear wings. Everywhere the sound of our voice reaches, let there be healing, let there be deliverance, let there be restoration, let there be knowledge, let there be light. Father, we give you praise. We vow to give you the glory. In Jesus' precious name, we have prayed. Amen. Hallelujah. December happens to be our marriage anniversary. And this year, by the grace of God, was the 19th. That's on the 8th. 19th wedding and marriage anniversary. Since last year, I decided that every December fresh oil will focus on marriages. And I will be looking at that under the theme, Live to Cleave. So we started last year with 2019 edition. And by God's grace, this is Live to Cleave 2020 edition. Amen. We trust God that as things goes on, it will evolve as God gives direction and as God gives leading. But the critical thing is for us to uphold the truth of scriptures. For us to uphold the truth of scriptures. Because of civilization, so many wrong things are already being incorporated into the church. So many wrong things are also being practiced by believers. And part of the challenge is because we do not come to realize that the scripture is God's manual for maximized livelihood. The scripture is God's manual for maximized livelihood. So meaning every aspect of our lives, scripture speaks about. The scripture forms the foundation of marriage. Without God, there is no marriage. Marriage is not the idea of Africa. It's not the idea of America. It's not the idea of Asia. No. Marriage is and has been God's idea. For God is the one that said, it is not good for man to be alone. It wasn't Adam that said so. Man, God said so, that it is not good. God said it is not good. So God laid the foundation for marriage. So for us to understand what marriage is all about, we need to go back, learn, and stay with God's instructions and prescriptions for blissful marriage. You know, this is so important because marriage can actually determine if you have heaven on earth, or you have hell on earth. Marriage is that vital. Marriage is that vital. You can actually have heaven on earth or hell on earth because of marriage. So our getting it right is one thing. Our living it right is another thing. Praise the Lord. Let's go to the scriptures. Genesis chapter 2, verse 21 to 25. Genesis 2, 21 through 25. We want to appreciate all those that are linking up with us online. Believe the Lord would meet with you mightily in the name of Jesus. Are we there? I read. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord has taken from man made he a woman, and brought her unto man. God brought the woman to man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. This is our main focus. Therefore, having identified and accept, verse 23, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall be cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. Verse 25 is the cumulation, is the end result of verse 24. The destination of cleaving is, and they were both naked, and the man and his wife, and they were not ashamed. The end of the journey of cleaving is, they were both naked. A version says, they were not embarrassed, neither were they ashamed, the man and his wife. So this is where God wants every marriage to end, where men, a man and a woman, can have a relationship in spite of weaknesses and shortcomings and limitations, where you can have a companion that you are not embarrassed about, neither are you ashamed about, but you are intimate with. Praise the Lord. You are intimate with. The main focus is verse 24. Therefore, for this cause, therefore means for this cause, this reason. Therefore, now the therefore came because of verse 23. And verse 23 tells us, Adam said, this is now the bone of my bone and the flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman. Adam came to the point of identification and acceptance. This is now the bone of my bone and the flesh of my flesh. Therefore, a man will leave his father and his mother and will be cleaved to his wife. So, living precede cleaving. Living precede cleaving. So, if you don't live well, you cannot cleave well. If you don't live well, you cannot cleave well. Your inability to live promptly and completely will become the disability of your cleaving. Your inability to live promptly and completely will be the disability of your cleaving. So cleaving becomes easier when you truly live. And living is predicated on Genesis 2 verse 23. This is now the bone of my bone and the flesh of my flesh. Identification and acceptance. You can only live when by God you have identified the one that is the bone of your bone. Not my usage. You have identified the one that is the bone of your bone. And number two, you have accepted. Now look at what Adam said. Adam said, he's the bone of my bone and the flesh of my flesh. An identity.
indication of who this being is. If you remember, God brought animals before Adam, and Adam gave each of them a name. But the Bible says there was no companion for Adam. So God brought a companion to him, and Adam gave that companion a name. But beyond that, Adam identified that this being is the bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh, was taken from me. Taken from me. Now remember the way Eve was brought. Bible says God brought a bone from the rib of Adam, and with the bone he made Eve. He created Eve. So Adam was able to identify that this personality came from me. Marriage begins, the journey of marriage begins when a man can identify the personality that complete is in deficiency. When a man identifies the personality that covers his deficiency, his inadequacy, his incompleteness. When a man is able to identify, in Genesis 3:20, the Bible says, and Adam said, Adam called his wife's name Eve. But in Genesis 2:23, he called her woman. Eve, woman. Now, he called her woman, which signifies her purpose. Woman. He said, this is the bone of my bone. This is the flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because. Why is she called woman? Because she was taken away from man. So a definition was given to her by a purpose. But when we see chapter 3:20, he says she shall be called Eve because she will be the mother of the living. Now, different. The first one was a purpose. The second was a function. Our function is in our purpose. You recognize her by the virtue of her purpose in your life, not the virtue of her function in your life. Even though she has been built to perform those functions, but what precedes the function, her or is her purpose in your life. Meaning there is a part God has made inadequate in your life. There is a part where a man is not complete. There is a part where a man is deficient. There is a part where a man is not enough. There is a part that a man cannot do without. So when you see her, you know. Adam saw the lion. He didn't say, this is the bone of my bone and the flesh of my flesh. Adam saw the elephant. He didn't say, this is the bone of my bone and the flesh of my flesh. But Adam saw the one that came from his rib, and he said, this is the bone of my bone. This is the flesh of my flesh. Marriage begins when a man, through the help of God, is able to identify. That is the beginning. He must be able to identify the one God has brought into his life to begin the journey. For this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother and will be cleave to his wife, and they will become one flesh. But it begins from living, and the living starts from identification from the man. He that finds a wife, not he that finds a woman, is he that finds a wife, found a good thing and obtained favor before the Lord. What does that mean? He that finds a wife from the group of women. So from the group of women that comes into your life, there is a wife you must find. That is a wife you must find. And the wife is crafted. The wife is designed. The personality of the woman is such that will complement, not compete, with your own purpose and counsel. Please hear me. Every woman is tailor-made. Every woman is tailor-made. Every woman is tailor-made to adapt. To adapt to the man God brings into his life. So when you hear the word adaptability, women were designed to adapt. But the man must identify. That is where the problem of cleaving starts. Your inability to live well will become the disability of your cleaving. So if you have missed it from identification, then there'll be problem with acceptance. There'll be problem with acceptance. What does it mean to identify? To identify means to accept the sameness and oneness of the person. To identify means to accept your sameness. To accept your oneness. This person will complement me. Now, this is an identification came out at the time when they fetch water. It was the time. Now, every woman has a flower time. Every woman has the time to be positioned to be found. Every woman. Now, if you miss the time allotted to be found, then that area of your life becomes a prayer point. Becomes a prayer point. Because there is a season of your life where you are positioned to be located. If you are not there, for the Bible tells us that Rebecca came out to fetch water and she was at the well and she was found. She was found. So if you are not where you are supposed to be, even though you have been searched for, you could miss the appointment. Many are in a time of their life because of one reason or the other, they miss that window. And when you miss that window, truly you become, that area becomes a prayer point. But thank God there is a God that still does miracles. He says, I will restore the years. So even though the window was lost, God can still restore. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. To identify is to know that he or she alone can fill that vacuum. Satisfy that inadequacy. She is irreplaceable while he or she lives. Identify. When you've identified, then we go to the next thing that you accept. You identify, then you accept. How do you accept? You make a choice. You make a choice. To accept means you've chosen and decided your spouse is good enough for you. You've chosen, you've decided that your spouse is good enough for you. You've chosen. After you've identified, you made a choice. You now decide. Why? Because others will tinkle your fancy. Because others will come and they will look like. But once you identify, you must accept. To accept is to choose. To accept is to choose. Once you have chosen, once you have been able to say, this is the one, you must accept that this person is good enough for me. It doesn't matter what comes out in life. This person is the best decision for me. The reason why people talk about divorce is because even though you identify, you did not accept. To accept is, this person is good for me. It doesn't matter what they present to you. Those of us that are bad with soda, my acceptance is for cola. So if you present before me, when I go anywhere and they say, what do you like to drink? And it is soda. I will tell them, do you have Coca-Cola? They say no. Do you have Pepsi? They say no. Okay, do you have Big Cola? Not Big Cola, Big Cola. They said no. I said, don't worry. Because my own acceptance is cola. So any other thing does not really fit in. I just, okay, give me Sprites. Let me just manage it. But if I have a group to choose, I will not pick Sprite. I will not pick Fanta. I will pick what? Cola. It's an acceptance. So no matter how somebody said, this Fanta is sweet, my cola is good enough for me. If you taste this thing, God, it will change your life. No, my cola is good enough for me. So when you identify, you must accept. Accept her beauty. Accept his handsomeness. Accept her shape. Accept his shortness. Accept his language. Accept his behavior. Accept his mannerism. Accept the way his intelligence. Accept his shortcomings. Accept his bad English. Accept his dirtiness. You must be willing to accept that this person, in spite of the shortcomings, is best for me. Is best for me. Is best for me. So no matter what else is presented to you, you are okay. No matter what else is presented to you, you are okay. The problem of marriage, the challenge of marriage, is our inability to accept. Because different people will come. I don't know. I noticed something. After marriage, for a man, it's like your eyes is just single before marriage. But after marriage, you begin to notice those you did not notice before. You begin to notice. And that's why you find a man begin to compare his wife with others. You begin to notice what you did not notice before. Why? Because by nature, a man is an hunter. When he has won her, married her, embedded her, nature wants to push him. Oh yeah, go to the next one. But that is not the way of the child of God. We are not moved by our flesh. We are moved by the Spirit of God. Praise the name of the Lord. Adam said, this is the bone of my bone and the flesh of my flesh, and it shall be called woman because she was taken from man. So before we experience the therefore, there must be a living. The reason why there is a therefore is because there is an identification and acceptance. Then once you've identified and you accepted, then therefore a man live. A man live his father and his mother. If you don't live, you can't cleave. If you don't live well, you will not cleave well. If you don't live quick, you will cleave slowly. Now, note it. Cleaving is a present continuous tense. Marriage is all about cleaving. It's all about cleaving. Your marriage is as solid as your ability to cleave. The bond of your marriage is the bond of your cleaving. But it starts from live. The man is to leave his father and his mother. But how many have left? Leave daddy, leave mommy. He said, leave and cleave and become one flesh. What is in the mind of God is that we will live and form a new identity. A new identity. Somebody brought up something online, a dear sister, and she said it is not biblical for women to change their names. That is just traditional or culture. And I said, ma, I beg to differ. For scripture says, and he called them. Bible says he made them male and female, and he called them Adam. He didn't call them Eve. He called them after the name of the man he formed. He didn't call them Eve. He called them Adam. I said, no. I said, scripturally, a man live and cleave, and they become one flesh. One flesh is different from your father and your mother. You see, once you leave daddy and mommy and your sisters and brothers, they become a third party to your marriage. They become a third party to your marriage. They are for guidance. They are for counseling. But hear me, your father cannot tell you, the daughter, come home now. And you carry your load and go home. It's because you do not understand what it means to live. Because if your father says, come home now, and your husband said, sit down there, the moment you have left, you have left the authority, the direct authority of that man. You have entered another authority. You need to understand this truth. You are living completely. A lot of men don't live. They just want to keep sucking two breasts. It's not possible. You cannot be sucking the breast of your mother and be sucking the breast of your wife. It will poison your life. It will poison your life. You must leave. Leave your mother. Leave your mother. Leave your father's money. Leave your father's name. Leave your father's popularity. Leave your father's title. Leave and form your own. God's intention is for a man to live, and through him God can begin something new. Every marriage is an opportunity for God to start something new. He says, behold, I will do a new thing. Every time we celebrate a marriage, we are celebrating the possibility of God doing something new. Meaning, your definition does not need to be defined from your parents. You can define the direction you choose to go. You can define the direction to go. Because the two becomes one flesh. The man must leave. All this running to mommy, running to daddy. I once read about the story of a couple. When they wanted to get married, the father is wealthy, so the boy was jobless. The father gave him a job. Praise God. He came to share testimony in church. The Lord has given me a job. The job gave him a car. They didn't have accommodation. The father gave them an accommodation. Oh, praise God. We are living in a very fantastic place, given by my father-in-law. In fact, that man is so good. In fact, that man is so good. He's so kind. No furniture. The father-in-law provided the furniture. And they got married. The father-in-law sponsored the marriage. Where are you going to? What's your business? Are you talking to me that way? I'm your husband. Sit down. No. He held her. She pulled. She fell down. She called, daddy. 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 Do you know what Jesus did to me now? He just pushed me down. The father called. Did you just push my daughter? No, that it didn't happen that way. So what happened? Do you mean I sponsored your wedding? I gave you a job, I gave you a car, I gave you a house in order for you to mess up my daughter? He said, that is not so. Listen to me. Men, be careful of Greek gifts. Life is not built from the top. Life is built from down. The only thing built from the top is called a grave. You dig the grave from the top. Men, learn to grow. Even if it's a room you can afford, bring your wife into that room. She's your wife. Even if she used to drink bottled water and it's pure water you can put on the table, she chose to marry you. She must adapt to the taste of pure water. It is called identification and acceptance. I've chosen this person. Look, I may be eating jollof rice in my father's house. If all your husband can provide is of father rice, you must eat it with joy. Why? I chose this person. And I decide to cleave and to go with him. When you begin to accept various Greek gifts, you put yourself in a position to be messed up. You know what happened? One day it was the boy that packed out of the house. It wasn't the girl that packed out of the house. The boy packed out of the house. He said, I'm not doing the game. The question is, who married who? Was it the man that married her, or she married the man? Praise the Lord. Are you receiving something? My time is up, but let me quickly wrap this up so we can go to the next thing. Hallelujah. Yeah, I said cleaving is a present continuous marital adventure that turns two flesh into one flesh progressively. Is a foundational building block of marriage. Without cleaving, there is no marriage. The process of cleaving is what constitutes God's ideal marriage. Thus, is the mystery behind Christian marriage. Every couple must pursue cleaving vigorously. You must pursue cleaving vigorously. For this reason, a man will leave and cleave to his wife. He must pursue vigorously. Cleaving is a mystery. When we were about to marry, somebody shared a scripture with me. And that scripture had been something I remind myself often. Job chapter 41. Job chapter 41 verse 16 to 17. Job 41, 16 to 17. Job 41, 16 to 17. He says, one is so near to another that no air can come between them. This is cleaving. This is where God wants every married to be. One is so near to another that no air can come between them. They are joined one to another. They stick together so that they cannot be separated. They are joined one to another. They stick together so that they cannot be separated. A marriage that lacks the act of cleaving is a contract, not a covenant. The marriage that lacks the act of cleaving is a contract. It's not a covenant. One is so near another that no air can come between them. They are joined one to another. They stay together so that they cannot be separated. A good example of cleaving is what we have in the book of Ruth. Ruth chapter 1 verse 14 to 17. Ruth 1 14 to 17. If we're to define cleaving further, For instance, looking at these two, for this to enter this part, the carpenter will need to create a hole here. A hole is created so that this one can fit into. Am I right? It's just like having the chairs. The inches of the chairs. They will create one to have a peg. The other one will have a hole. That's why marriage is never between a man and a man. It's not between a woman and a woman. Anything between a man and a man or a woman and a woman is an abnormality. It is called God's judgment. Anything. It's between a man and a woman. So there is a peg and there is a hole. When they are brought together, you must identify that I am a peg, identify I'm a hole. When they are brought together, they enter each other. But they don't stop there. A good carpenter will now go further. Before he brings them together, he will apply glue. So that when he put in, he will hammer it together. The glue will make it stick. That scripture says they are joined together. They stick together. Hear me. God does the joining. But every man and woman do the sticking. God does the joining. But every man and woman do the sticking. Even though God has joined you, if you refuse to daily stay stick, you can fall off. You can fall off. Because there are things that will become debts, will become hindrance to your sticking in the gum. So if the gum you are using is not appropriate, even though you are joined together, the chair will be shaking like this. Will be shaking like this. Will be shaking like this. So there is a joining. But beyond that joining, there must be a sticking. God does the joining. Man does the sticking. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I've been able to say, number one, before you can cleave, you must leave. If you don't live well, you don't cleave well. Leave your mommy, leave your father, leave your mother, leave your brother, leave your sister. You must leave. You must leave because you've identified the person you choose to run your journey with. You've identified the person you want to live your life with. And you've accepted the person for who or what she is. Amen? When you've done that, then you leave. When you leave, the process of cleaving begins. Ruth chapter 1. Let us end with that. Ruth chapter 1, verse 14 to 17. This is a vivid example of what it means to cleave. Our marriage is all about cleaving. What I'm sharing is God's ideal. This is what God wants for every man, and this is what God wants for every woman. I read, and they lifted up their voice and wept again. And Orpha kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth cleaved unto her. And she said, behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people. And unto her gods, return thou after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. And where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest, I will die, and there will I be buried. And the Lord do so to me, and more also. If aught but death part thee and me. This is an example of cleaving. Not what Ruth said. This is an example of what God expects from marital relationship. She said, whither thou goest, I will go. So when we cleave, our journey become one. Our vision become one. You can't say, I have my vision. You have your vision. Any home that is running with two vision is called division. And that is the beginning of division. Any vision you have as a man, you share it with your wife. Every vision you have before you began marriage, shared with your spouse. Vision you have while you are married, shared with your spouse. So that your spouse can see what the end is from the beginning. For instance, before we married, my wife knew this is my life. She knew ministry is my life. Share it with your spouse. The vision your wife has should be shared with you, and it should be incorporated into your vision. Listen to me. A woman finds the bearing of her vision in the vision God has given to the man, because God brought her as help to the man. I repeat that so that the people they call themselves feminine can understand this truth. God brought her as help for the vision of the man. The man was crying, Lord, help me. Lord sent help in a human being, a woman. So when a man does not understand that the woman God has given to me is help, he's short-circuiting himself. He's shooting himself at the feet. In fact, God to let us know how much help he has put in a woman. He said, if you disrespect and dishonor her, your prayer as a man will not be heard. Your prayer will be hindered. So God is telling you, if you despise the help I have brought to you, you put yourself at a disadvantage. She said, whither you go, I will go. Our journey become one. Find the bearing of your vision in the vision of your spouse. Find what God is saying to you in the vision of your spouse. There is a place he fit in. Listen to me. It doesn't mean because God called him to ministry that God calls you to ministry. You need to understand that there are different aspects of ministry. You don't necessarily need both to be on the pulpit. No, somebody's ministry could be at the back. She's the one that makes all things happen. And in fact, there are some relationships that the person God calls to the pulpit ministry is the wife, and the man is at the back making everything happen. Marriage is meant to give us wings to fly. I like to put it this way. When a man gives a woman a ring and she says, I do means I give you wings to fly as a man. Now, when you come into his home and he loves you, he's reciprocating, giving you wings to fly. You don't sweep your vision under the rug because you got married. Your vision does not end up in the kitchen or in the bedroom because you got married. No. The vision must not die. It should be the one to keep the fire of your vision alive. He said, whither you go, I will go. Our journey become one. And you can't have one journey when you don't talk. He says, where thou lodge, I will lodge. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Our abode, our dwelling is one. Our abode, our dwelling is one. Listen to me, beloved. I recognize the fact that due to what to eat, a lot of us are making decisions that as contravenes. Our abode, our dwelling is not one. It is one thing to even extend it to our bedroom. Should be one. Nothing like, oh, master bedroom. No. one. Because the two were together, naked and not ashamed. Our dwelling should be one. So many people, because of what to eat or what to drink, we find, especially early marriages, husband is living abroad, wife is living in Nigeria. You are not helping yourself. You are not helping yourself. Somebody is here, you are there. You are not helping yourself. Scripture says, do not give ground to the enemy. As much as it lies in your strength, fight to be under the same abode. Now, something happens when you live separately. You grow separately. When you live separately, you will grow separately. He said, our abode shall be the same thing. We will live in the same place. We will dwell in the same place. As much as it lies. Yes, I know. The same. You don't have any option. You don't have any choice. But excuse me. If you have a choice, don't make that choice. Don't make that choice. Remember, it was food that took Jacob to Egypt. What to eat? Took Jacob to Egypt. And that became the what? The place of bondage for his generation years to come. Don't let what to eat take you to Egypt. Many have caused issues in their marriages because of looking for what to eat. You've gone to where you should not go. Some of us, we think we are supermen. You know, the other time I was teasing my wife. I said, I'm not a superman. I have blood and water flowing in my veins. Don't give room to the enemy. Don't give room to the enemy. Why should you be in Contagora and she's in Sokoto? Listen to me. If you need to forfeit huge income for the sake of that oneness, please forfeit it. You say, Pastor, you don't understand. I understand. Hear me very well. The income you pursue to gather for separating will never cover or pay for the pain and the displeasure that could come by that separation. It will never make up. It will never make up. Some people, it's not that they decided to go into immorality, but something happened. Their spouse was not around. One situation led to another, and it happened. It happened. Can you imagine a man in his 60s coming to discover that his two children, the third and the last, are not his? In his 60s, and the wife died 10 years back. He just came to discover the two are not his own. And what happened? Because within that period, he was not around. What will you do? Tell the children, I'm not your father? Hate the woman that has gone? Nobody to give him an explanation of what happened. But really, what happened? The man is meant to protect his own. Hear me. As a man, you protect who your wife listened to. That was a problem of Adam. Adam did not decide who Eve was listening to. Eve listened to the serpent. It's not everybody that must be the wife, friend of your wife. It's not. I don't like that person. I don't want that person. You have the right to draw the line. Because you said, I don't like that person's influence on you. I don't want that person's influence on you. There is a way I want you to think. There is a way I want you to reason. There's a way I want you to think. I don't want to subject your own ability. But hear me, that person's influence is not good on you. Just as you, as a wife, also can tell your husband, I don't like that person. So the man determined who listen, who is speaking to the wife. What are they telling her? I once had a very dear friend that wanted me to take a step that I wasn't 100% convinced that it was the Lord. And what do we do when he speaks to me and he sees that I'm not bulging? Then he talks to my wife. So when he speaks to my wife, I get back home. I think we are on good page. All of a sudden, I will hear her talking and I'm wondering, who is speaking? Who is talking? What was not an issue between us became an issue. What wasn't an issue became an issue. So I gave an instruction. If he calls, please put it on speaker. I must hear what he said and I must be involved. Listen to me. You are in charge of the sanctity of your home. You are in charge of the peace of your home. You are in charge of the vision of your home. You are in charge. You're in charge. You're in charge. Don't let somebody else indirectly take charge of your home. It says, where you live, I will live. What is the next one? He said, where you go, I will go. Where you abode, I will abode. The third one. Your people shall be my people. Your people shall be my... So, marriage creates an issue where it is not my sister, my father, my mother. It is our... Your people shall be my people. It is not because I am working and I make more money. So I must give my parents more money than your parents. I must give my siblings more money than I give to yours. Because I feel your own are comfortable. No. My people shall be your people. It is to put every need in the basket and shake and shake. When you shake the needs, the lighter needs will gravitate up. The bigger needs as stones will come down. So you meet those needs. It doesn't matter who it is, because your father is my father, your mother is my mother, your sister is my sister. So what I can do to my own, listen to me, the two shall become one. The two shall become one. Somebody once told me, one of my aunties, he said, your wife has put your head under. I said, ma, who should put my head under? My mother? Who else should put my head under? If not my wife, who else? I said, I am glad she has put my head under. I prefer to be under a... Where else will I have to be? Under your own? Or under somebody else? No. No. It is the two has become one. And why was it? Because I wasn't ready to dance to what family wanted. I was willing to dance with what myself and my wife has agreed to. Listen to me. You are an entity on your own. That's why he says when you come together and agree. He didn't say when you agree together. Have you seen that scripture that says when father and mother join hand with husband and wife, God will hear? No. He says when two agree, husband and wife, one shall chase 1,000, two shall chase 10,000. When you come together, there is no force on this earth that can withstand your prayer. It is a prayer myself and my wife pray often. The prayer of agreement. Understanding that the two has become one. It is a journey that will end in death. But you see, the way you bond is important. As you begin to bond, not only spiritual, but physically, you begin to look alike. You begin to look like each other. You begin to look alike. The physical look alike is a proof that spiritually you are bonding. When he says something and you can finish what he's saying, in fact, it's as if sometimes the two of you are thinking the same thing. bonding process is ongoing. Your people shall be my people. He says, where you die, I will die. Where you die, meaning, look, we are going to stay together to the end with this thing. We are staying together to the end with this thing. Somebody say, my marriage will work. So my marriage will work. My marriage will not scatter. My marriage will not be frustrated. My marriage will work. Can you rise up and say, in the name of Jesus, powers against our cleaving, your power is loosed. Your power is decommissioned. Powers against our cleaving, you will not prosper in our lives. You will not prevail in our lives. You will not prosper in our life. You will not prevail in our lives. You will not scatter us. You will not prosper in our lives. You will not prevail in our lives. You will not scatter us. Mekaya badosh ibe kutu venende esire woshada. In Jesus' precious name. Say in Jesus' name. Power sponsoring divorce. Power sponsoring separation. I am not a candidate. In the name of Jesus. Power sponsoring divorce. Power sponsoring separation. I am not your candidate. I am not your candidate. I am not your candidate. Kadebe to sede kaya. Na pesondo pele. Shemanaminos ungragarosh. Kaselo biduzuzu. Bekaliado shada. Na kobrusti predishtia. In Jesus. Precious name. We pray. Somebody say, my marriage will succeed. My marriage will succeed. My marriage will succeed. My marriage will succeed. In the precious name of Jesus. God bless you. Be seated. God bless you. Hallelujah.